You know, there are many changes that take place between the years of 13 to 18. From age 13 to 18, that's a short 5 years. And then from 19 to 29, I'm including 29 into my young adult package here. From 19 to 29, that's a short 10 years. So if you consider yourself an older or a maturing teenager or young adult, this message is for you. This message is for you. Everyone else is invited to listen in. You're invited to take notes. You're invited to reminisce, but I'm speaking particularly to our teenagers and to our young adults today. And I'm going to speak a little bit frank with them because the world is a little bit frank with them. I won't tell you too much about my background. I'll share a little bit of that probably at our teen activity. But I grew up in the church. My father started in the church back in the 50s. I was born in 62, do the math. This is a way of life that I've been around my entire life. Have I always walked according to God's calling? Absolutely not. I grew up in Baltimore in the inner city. You name it, I've either done it or wanted to do it. But I'm here where God has placed me. And you are here because God has called you and placed you here. There are two scriptures. You won't have to turn to these over in Matthew 22:14 and Matthew 20:16. They say, many are called and few are chosen. Many are called and few are chosen. One thing I want you to take home with you teens and young adults is that you have been called. You have been called. You may not, you know, like it. You may choose that you weren't called. But the fact of the matter is that if your parents were called, you were called. You were called. I didn't necessarily like that when I grew up in the church, that suddenly I had this major responsibility because my father was called into this way of life. But I was called. And you are called. You cannot deny that. But it says, many are called and few are chosen. Few are chosen. So the first part has already taken place. You've already been called. The second part about the choosing, guess what? In order to be chosen, you have to first choose God. That's where you are right now. You have to now choose. You're called. Then you have to choose God. And if you choose God, God chooses you. God chooses you. Many are called, but few are chosen. Your time to choose is now. The simple statement for you to ponder today is this. It's simply, you choose. You choose. It's your choice. You choose. I want you to choose everlasting life. I want you to choose God. The church wants you to choose God. The church wants you to choose everlasting life. But it's your choice. It's your choice. You choose. You know, most young people transition from being directly under their parents' command to making their own decisions in a short 5 years. From age 13 to usually around 18 or 20, a short 5 years. You transition from being under your parents' command to making your own decisions. And if not by then, certainly by the next 10 years or 15-year lifespan. And most 18-year-olds would admit that they are not the same person they were at 13. Matter of fact, when you get to be 16 or 17 and you look at the kids that are 12, 13, 14, you think, man, they're little chumps, little kids. And you're only a couple years away from that because change, transition takes place so quickly. And even if after college you are still living at home, the dynamics of parental control and decision-making changes considerably from teenage to young adult. Depending on the dynamics of your life, your age, the dependency you have on your parents or guardian for your livelihood, and your maturity, the concept of choice, your choice can be anywhere from exciting to scary, anywhere from frustrating to sobering, to just feeling, you know, it's about time. I am so glad to be out of this house, on my own, off to school, off to college. Finally, I can make my own decisions. It's your choice. It's your choice. One thing is for certain, particularly as you move into your mid-teens and to young adulthood, your life will be the result of the choices you make. Your life will be as a result of the choices you make. My pastor when I was a teenager was Roy Demarest. He told us that teens, on many occasions, people are where they are primarily as a result of the choices they make. That is absolutely true. Primarily, you will be where you will be in life based on the choices you make. Choice is a very daunting reality, but it's a reality nonetheless. Your future in the kingdom of God, as Mr. Kelly talked about so eloquently, your future in the kingdom of God will be the result of the choices you make. The choices you make. As a teen or as a young adult, your ultimate desire should be to be in the kingdom of God. It should be to be changed from mortal being to a spirit being. You will be there not only because of the mercy and grace and power of God, but you will be there because you choose to be there. It's your choice. Your choice. And now is the time for you to choose. Are you going to choose God? Are you going to choose this way of life? Are you going to choose some alternative life? Alternative choice. Let's examine a very fundamental scripture having to do with choice. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I want you to keep something here in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, because this is the foundation for the message today. And we're going to be coming back and forth here to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says this, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose, you choose life. You choose life. No, the I that is speaking here, it says, I call heaven and earth, I have set before you. The I that is speaking here is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is speaking on the authority of God the Father. Jesus Christ is telling or teaching each of you a very critical truth and ultimate reality about the outcome of choice. Outcome of choice will either be blessing or cursing. Outcome of choice will be life and death. You can listen to what Jesus Christ has to say. You can take it to heart. You can learn from it and choose to change your life, order your steps according to his teaching, or you can choose to discount it. It's your choice. Your choice. It is similar to sitting in a classroom and choosing to learn what's being taught and then doing what's necessary to pass the test. Very similar. Life is very similar to that. We all may learn differently, but one thing all students must have in common is they have to choose to learn. They have to choose and must choose to then do what is necessary, or they can choose not to. Your choice. Your choice. Since today is about teens and young adults, I encourage you to choose to learn. I encourage you to choose to follow me in your Bible today. I encourage you to be the best student you can be for the next hour or so. I encourage you to choose to follow me today. You can follow me in the scriptures that we'll be turning to on your phone. You can follow me on your iPad. You can follow me on your laptop. You can follow me on your paper-bound Bible, or you can just listen carefully. It's your choice. It's your choice, but I'm asking you to choose to stay with me today through this message, because this is a message for you. It's a message for you. You know, a side story about paying attention and making the choice to learn. Just a little side story. I know some of you may be very brilliant. I know some of you are very brilliant, brilliant young men and women. My wife, Lisa, who I've known since I was 9, so you did the math, 50 years. 50 years. I've known her since she was 9, or since I was 9. I won't tell you how old she was. But I was 9, and I didn't have to propose. I didn't have to ask for a picture. She saw me across the room and came running. No. And I was only 9. But my wife, Lisa, who I've known since I was 9, is one of those remarkably smart people with superior study habits who can hear something and retain it. And I didn't realize that until 19 years after I met her. You know, at 19, I was attending a community college in Maryland. I was working towards a degree in data processing, which is known today as computers. A degree that, having switched schools, I initially went to school for psychiatry. I switched to technology. And Lisa and I happened at 19 to be in the same class one semester. And of course, since we were boyfriend and girlfriend, we sat beside each other. As the instructor was teaching this challenging class, from my perspective, Lisa would pick her nails, write a few words in her book, check out other students around the room, glance up at the board, stare off into space, write another couple of words in her book, and I'm thinking, this girl is going to fail this class. I've never taken a class with her before, but she is going to fail this class. You know, I have 2 years under my belt of college, and I know how to take a, you know, college class. She's going to fail. On the other hand, as a seasoned college student in all of my intellectual vanity, I was not allowing one word of the professor to drop to the floor. I mean, I was paying attention. I was locked in. I'm taking copious notes. I'm turning with the professor page by page in the textbook. I'm copying down feverishly everything that he's putting on the board. I mean, I am zoned in. And that was the case for me each day in class. I mean, I was there to learn. On the other hand, brilliant Lisa was still picking her nails and half the time looking bored out of her mind. Well, test time came, and lo and behold, Miss Brilliant aced the test and the extra credit. She aced them, and I believe I got maybe a C+ or D-. I couldn't believe it. She must know some special ninja hi-ya technique to learning in college that I just didn't know. So the next section of the professor's teaching that he was covering, I chose to copy off of Lisa. When she picked her fingers, I picked my fingers. When she wrote something in her notebook, I wrote something in my notebook. When she gazed and looked around the room, leaned back in her chair, I gazed around the room, leaned back in my chair. If she turned to a section in the textbook, I turned. Time for the next test. She aced it again. I, on the other hand, got a D-. I think the professor gave me a D- because it was hard for him to write an F. Needless to say, I went back to my own techniques of choosing to learn. So young people, some people I suppose are just smarter than others, better studiers than others, can grasp concepts quicker than others, or just better students. So however you learn, However you learn, however you want to follow me today, I'm okay with that. But I want you to stay with me. I want you to stay with me. So I'm going to assume that as I look out in the audience and I see some of you picking your nails, I see the guys slumped down in their chairs, I'm going to assume that you're brilliant like my wife. That's what I'm going to assume. You're brilliant like Lisa and are indeed choosing to be right here with me throughout this message, because this message is for thinking. It's a message for pondering. It's a message for you, a message about choosing eternal life. Eternal life. So again, it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose, you choose life. It's your choice. Now, Jesus Christ is like that professor at the front of the room where you should not want one word of his teaching to drop to the floor. Why? Why should the words of the Bible, why should the words of Christ, why should the teaching of the church be taken so seriously? Keep something again there in Deuteronomy 30. Go with me over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Why should you pay attention to the teachings of Jesus Christ more than the teachings of anyone else? Why the teachings of Jesus Christ? Here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 it says, for by him, and this is the same him, Jesus Christ, that was speaking back in Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, it says, for by him, Jesus Christ, all things were created, which are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. This is telling you, this is telling me that you and I were created for Christ. All things. That includes you, that includes me, includes everyone in this room, includes all humanity created for Christ. Verse 17. And he is the beginning of all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Teens and young adults, the reason that you should listen to Jesus Christ, then do what he says, is simply because he absolutely, unequivocally knows what he's talking about. Jesus Christ knows what he's talking about. He made everything. He made things that you see and things that you don't see. He made that beautiful ocean out there, the sun that shines in the sky, the stars and the planets surround you. He made it all and he sustains it all. And he made you. He made you. So go back with me to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Back to Deuteronomy 30, 19. Again, reading this scripture, I call heaven. I, Jesus Christ, call heaven and earth as witness against you today that I have placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose, you choose life. You choose life. Now, this is what being here at the feast is all about. You're here because you're here to choose life, to learn about life, to learn about eternal life, to learn about the kingdom of God, God's plan of salvation. That's why we're here. Now it says here, therefore you choose life. This word life in the Hebrew is hey. It means life, the state of animate life, which of course is in contrast to death. It means nourishment, food for life. It means to have a prosperous, bountiful, blessed, favorable circumstances in life contrasted against an unfavorable life. So Christ is saying to you as a teenager or a young adult, as you go about doing whatever it is that you choose to do, in front of you is ultimately going to be choices between life and death, blessing and cursings, favorable things and unfavorable things, right and wrong. Christ says, I want you to choose nourishment, prosperity, generosity, favorable circumstances. Christ says, I want you to choose life. Hi. Hi. Life. You know, we can agree or disagree whether what Christ says is absolutely true. But since he made both the heavens and the earth, I think we better, you know, kind of side with him. Christ says, like it or not, you must choose. You have to choose. It's your choice. You have to choose. But choose life. Hi, choose life. Why? It goes on to say here, that both you and your descendants may live. That both you and your descendants may live. And I know some of the teenagers are thinking, well, you know, Mr. Jackson, you know, you're talking this thing about descendants, you know, that's like way off in the future. You know, I'm 15 years old. You know, the concept of having children, fathering children is not even in the recesses of my mind. You know, this whole descendants thing, you know, I don't know what that's all about, but, you know, that kind of doesn't excite me. I get that. But Christ's words show the wisdom and the power of choice, because at 15 years old, you can make bad choices that have an impact on your descendants. At 15, you can make bad choices, even though that might be the furthest thing from your mind. At 15. You see, add then 5 years to that 15, and you're suddenly you're 20. Add 5 years to that 20, and suddenly you're 25. Add 5 years to that 25, and now you're 30. Well, I paid attention to math, unlike Mr. Winter. Suddenly you're 30. It's not a long time before the concept of descendants becomes important to a teen or to a young adult. It doesn't take long. Those of you who are 16 and 17 looking back at the 13-year-old saying, oh, you got to be kidding. That was only 2, 3, 4 years ago. Life goes quickly. And sadly, many young people and young adults make wrong choices that will require extra time, extra effort, and possibly years to address or to correct or to recover from. But even if you don't grasp that part where it says descendants, the first part of that says that you may live. That you may live. Now, this word live here is different from the word life. Live was high. Life is hayah. That you may live. It's sort of the sound that you make when you're doing a karate chop. Hayah. Live. That's what Christ wants you to do. He wants you to live. This word lives means to keep, to make alive, to give promise to life, to nourish up, to quicken, to recover, repair, restore, revive, to be whole. To be whole. I know there are a lot of young people that don't feel whole. You don't feel complete. I've talked to many young people who are depressed, who are going through various difficult times. The first place to start to become whole is with God the Father and Jesus Christ. I encourage you, no matter what, keep coming to church. I know several of you thought about the teen activity and looked at that and said, you have to be kidding me. I thought we'd be going out playing basketball or volleyball or golf or something, and here we have a homework assignment. Welcome to Mr. Jackson's world. That's all right. It's your choice. That's okay. The most important thing is that you're here. The most important thing is that you continue to be here to make that choice. To make that choice. What is the choice that you should be making? You should be making the choice to live. And what does living look like from Christ's perspective? What is the test? What is the syllabus for life? Verse 20 is that test. Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. Here's the test. Here's the syllabus. It says that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. He is your life. He's the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. That's the choice you have to make every day. Now, the last part of verse 20 may sound a little esoteric. You don't know what esoteric means? Look it up. But to make the last part of verse 20 relevant to you, God promises that he will support you with good stuff. He'll watch over you. He'll take care of you if you choose life. And ultimately, the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the promise of everlasting life. Under the government of God, as pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day, and continued everlasting life into the kingdom of God, when the throne of God comes to this earth, that's going to happen. That's why you were made. That's why you are here. And I know there's a lot in that sentence that I just talked about. But that's the choice that Christ wants you to make. Do you want to be there? Do you want to partake of that wonderful picture that Mr. Kelly and Mr. Bruton talked about? You have to choose life. You have to choose to live. Now, what is incredible is that God places that choice in your hands. That's crazy, isn't it? He places that choice in your hands. Your parents will guide you up until X age, and then guess what? It's on you. It's on you. We want you to choose life. Christ wants you to choose life. You are choosing or going to choose throughout life what you want to do, what you want to believe. Will you choose to do the right things? Will you choose to do wrong things? It's your choice. You choose. Will you choose blessing and cursings? It's your choice. You choose. Will you choose life or death? It's your choice. I can't emphasize that enough. Your choice. You have to choose this way of life. You have to choose God. You choose God, God will choose you. He's already called you. Now you have to choose. This word death there in Deuteronomy, this word death is maveh. It means the grave. It means pestilence. It means plague, the process or state of physically dying. It actually also means here a pandemic disease that causes death to a population. You want more of this mass stuff? This is what you want? This is what the world is offering? You want a world where you're not sure if you could go by and see grandma or grandpa because you were out with your friends the night before? You want a world where you're stuck in your room and stuck in the house and the government putting more and more regulations on you and on your life? Do you want to choose that or you want to choose God's way? Your choice. This is what the world is offering you. Look around. Look at that sheet, those 15 items. That's what the world is offering you. Your choice. Your choice. You choose. Jesus Christ says, choose life, not death. Now, let's talk a little bit about choosing life. Haya, choosing to live. Let's talk a little bit about following that syllabus. The syllabus is Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. That's the syllabus. You know, the concept is not complicated, but does it require work to choose this way of life? It requires work.
Anyone that tells you that following this way of life is easy maybe has a different perspective. This way of life is not easy. It is hard, but I guarantee you this way of life is easier than what's happening in the world. But will it require work? Will it require you to choose all the time this way of life? Absolutely it will. But it's your choice. You choose. You see, the part that I did not see my brilliant girlfriend Lisa doing was that she was a tenacious studier when she wasn't in the classroom. She had already read and scanned the material prior to class. The syllabus for her was not a piece of paper that the instructor gave her to be crunched down in the bottom of her backpack like it was mine. That's where my syllabus ended up. It ended up in the bottom of my backpack. My backpack looked like a two-week-old uncleaned hamster's cage that you better be careful when you stick your hand in there. You're not sure what you're going to get bit by. Her backpack and her notebook looked like the jewelry counter at Macy's. Everything neat, everything organized. So I'm sitting in class hearing all that the professor is teaching for the very first time. She had been gaining understanding along the way. She had been making good choices along the way. I tried to cram when I was in class. Because after class, you know, I'm going about doing whatever else I want to do. You have to choose daily. In an ongoing way, you have to choose life. You see, when the test came, it wasn't complicated for her. For me, the test was a challenge because I was not choosing to do what I needed to do each and every day. I wasn't choosing life each and every day. I wasn't choosing to pass that test each and every day. That's what you have to do. It both required work for both of us. Preparation for life is doing verse 20 all the way through life, each and every day, making that choice to live. Verse 20 is the roadmap. Verse 20 is the syllabus. Deuteronomy verse 20 says that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life, the length of your days, that you may dwell in the kingdom of God, that you might have everlasting life. And sometimes through life, the only thing you might have at different times in life is the ability to cling to Christ, to cling to the promises of God. And if you haven't been practicing the syllabus, studying daily through life, when those crises comes up, you go grasping and you have nothing to hold on to. And you hope that you get a C or a B plus and not a D minus or an F. Because a crisis will come. The challenges will come. Preparation for life is doing what it said there in verse 20. Again, that you may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, cling to him. He's your life, he's your length of your days, that you may dwell in the kingdom of God, that you might have everlasting life. Will you choose to follow the syllabus? Will you choose to pass the test every day? You see, TV, sitcoms, movies, friends, wayward teachers can make the clarity of choice seem challenging and complicated. The world wants to confuse you as to what choice you ought to make. You know, the world wants you to be confused whether you should obey your parents or not. Follow this person on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr or not. Imitate or maintain or initiate or end a toxic or questionable sexual relationship or not. They want to make these decisions complicated. Look at it, try it, give in to it, resist it, touch it, read it, send it, share it, or not. choose to do or not do, flip a coin, make a choice, you're going to make a choice. Christ says, choose life, choose to live, follow the syllabus. Pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles, the kingdom of God, and beyond. So how do you know what to choose? Well, does the choice you make or that you face pass the Hayai test? Does it pass Deuteronomy 30, verse 20? It's not complicated. Does it pass the test? You know, I'm not talking about whether, you know, you're choosing a black Lamborghini or an orange one. As a young guy in my neighborhood, in his 30s, I think he's a technology guy, I assume, has an orange Lamborghini. An orange Lamborghini. You know, with education, with affluence in the United States, with hard work, that may be a wonderful choice that you might have in the future. I don't know if I want to get a black Lamborghini or an orange one. Maybe I'll get a Porsche. That's a wonderful choice that some of our young people will have in the future, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about making choices between right and wrong, making choices to live, life and death, morality versus immorality. You see, when you're at home in front of your parents or your guardians, the power of choice most often is fairly simple. See, when you're at home, it really is fairly simple. Either you do what is asked or suffer the consequences. Or you do what is asked out of love, out of respect, or to avoid the consequences, but you are making a choice. You are making a choice. There's one very real thing about life, teens and young adults. Once you walk out of your house, away from your parents or your guardians, you are with your friends, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or off to school, in college, on the job, or just hanging out. It's up to you to choose. It's up to you to choose. It's up to you to believe what you want to believe, when you want to believe it, to follow it or not follow it. It's your choice. Your choice. Christ says choose life, but it's your choice. Therefore, since eventually you're going to choose what you want to do anyway, either now or in the future, I want to encourage you to choose life. Hiya. To choose to follow the syllabus. So let's ponder, let's think about the concept of choosing just a little bit deeper by stating four absolutes about life. I want to just talk about four absolutes about life. Whether you choose to understand these absolutes or not, these are absolutes about life. Now, do you know what an absolute is? An absolute truth. You see, an absolute truth means that it will be true no matter what. Choose what you want. Decide what you want. But guess what? The truth will still be the truth. It's still going to remain what it is. You know, for example, you know, you can choose to believe that 1 + 1 = 5. You can choose to believe that 1 + 1 = 5, but it doesn't. 1 + 1 = 2. You know, unless you assign a value, a little algebra here, unless you assign a value of 2.5 to 1, then 1 + 1 = 2, because 2.5 plus 2.5 equals 5. And I hated algebra, but I like calculus, and I like physics, and I like trig. So you can choose to believe what you want, but if you're taking an arithmetic test or algebra or calculus, or you're a computer programmer or carpenter, or you're a physician delving out medicine to base your answer, your repair, your application, your medication, your patient care on your belief that 1 + 1 = 5, you're going to have some problems. Because 1 + 1 = 2, that's an absolute. And there are absolutes about life. You know, the world that we live in does not want you to believe that there are absolutes when it comes to moral life. It doesn't want you to believe that there are absolutes. when it comes to making choices. You know, all of us are told, you and I alike are told, and told continually that what really matters is how you feel. What really matters is how you make another person feel. If you feel good about it and the next person agrees with you, doesn't care about it, or it's none of their business, then do what you want. It's your choice. There are no absolutes. Just do what you want. If it does matter to the other person, but you feel that you are right, just as long as you today agree with the vocal minority, if you agree with the vocal minority, then do what you want to do anyway. It's your choice. But there are absolutes. There are absolutes. No matter how you may feel about what you choose to do, no matter who you are or what you believe, there are absolutes that are true for all of you, for all of your friends, in church and out of church, no matter the choice you or they make. Christ says, choose life. There are absolutes. So I just want to talk about four absolutes. I'm going to spend time on the first two. The last two are going to be brief. Four absolutes about choose. Choose to live. Choose Haya, absolute truth number one. Absolute truth number one. God has determined what is right and wrong. Absolute truth. God has determined what is right and what is wrong. God has. We all can have our own opinions. Your teachers, your coaches, your friends, friends of friends have all their opinions. But the absolute truth is that God determines what's right and wrong. Go with me over to Isaiah. Isaiah 46 in verse 8. Isaiah 46 and verse 8. Again, it's your choice, but God determines what is right and what is wrong. It says here in Isaiah 46 verse 8, it says, remember this, show yourselves men. The better translation of this is, remember this, show yourself to be courageous. Show yourself to be courageous. It takes courage not only to believe that there is a God, but to believe God. You as a teenager or young adult must be willing to show yourself courageous. It takes courage today to believe in this way of life. It takes courage today to stand up for what's right and wrong. It takes courage today to do right things versus wrong things. But it's your choice. It's your choice. So it says, remember this and be courageous. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Now, Christ calls us all here transgressors. What's a transgressor? A transgressor is someone that chooses to do wrong instead of right. I raise both my hands. We're all transgressors at times. And you are transgressors at times. When you choose what you want to do, to see, to believe, your choice is either in agreement with God or it is against God. Your choice. Your choice. It says here, verse 9, remember the former days, the former things of old. This things of old basically says, don't forget what you've been taught. Don't forget what you've been taught. Many of your teens have been coming to church at least since you were 5 years old. Like me, I grew up in this way of life. Did I forget it during my teens? Absolutely, I did. Did I have to pay for it along the way? Absolutely, I have. Was God merciful and kind and gracious to me? Absolutely, he was. But at 19, I made the choice. It was a little bit late. But at least at 19, I made the choice that this was a way of life that I wanted to live. A lot of baggage, a lot of problems, a lot of wrongdoings, a lot of regrets. A lot of things that I took into my marriage, but I didn't make the choice. I wish I had made it at 13 or 16. Goes on to say here, remember the things of old. Don't forget what you've been taught. For I am God, there is no other. For I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I will do all my pleasure. Those words are absolute truth. Absolute truth. God determines what's right and what's wrong. He is going to do and fulfill his pleasure. Regardless of what the world is telling you. Regardless of what your teachers might be teaching you. Regardless of what your friends might be telling you. For example, let's consider just one social media app. I'll tell you that I'm qualified to talk about social media apps because I spent 34 years in the world of technology writing code and programs that you are probably using some of the logic and some of the other things that I did back in the 80s and the 90s, the 2000s. So let's talk a little bit about some of these social media apps. I just want to talk about one, TikTok. I hear grumbles out there. TikTok. TikTok is no different than most of the other social media platforms when it comes to managing age-appropriate content. But remember, God determines what's right and wrong. Now, for those who don't know what TikTok is, TikTok is known in China as Douyin. TikTok is a video sharing focused social media network service owned by the Chinese company ByteDance. The social media platform is used to make a variety of short form videos from genres like dance, comedy, education that have a duration of 13 seconds to about 3 minutes. Anyone can post on TikTok, but not everyone can automatically view its content. And when any website or application says you must be 18 years old to view this content, click here or provide your birth date, not only should a red flag go up, but for a 16-year-old, it's a joke. It was a joke for me. You know, it certainly would be wonderful if you were truthful and answered, no, I'm 14. No, I'm 16. No, I'm not 8, I'm 17. Don't show me any inappropriate content. I don't want to see it. But most of you are probably like I was. Maybe not all of you. I pray not all of you. But most of you are probably like I was that said either mistakenly, oh, I didn't mean to hit, yeah, I was 18. Well, that was a mistake. Or really sinister like I was, where you have an alternate alias sign on that your parents don't know about. That's the reality. But I made the choice. I made the choice. No, social media platforms try to provide age-appropriate parameters. No, TikTok hired a company that's called Common Sense Networks. They say this at Common Sense Networks. It says, we see the engagement and opportunity to double down on our commitment to elevate the quality of children's digital media so that age-appropriate content is the rule in our industry and not the exception. Kudos. Wonderful. The problem is whose standards? Whose morality? You know, based on God's standard of morality, millions of social media content would not be categorized. It would be deleted. But it's your choice. You can spend all your time, all your days out there on TikTok watching the funny, the laughing, the cat that does all sorts of crazy things. Believe me, I know media. I know advertising. The hook is to try to keep you there. So while you're watching that, off to the side is something very inappropriate. And you go from something funny, something harmless, to something harmful. That's the way it's designed. Your choice. You choose. You choose. Consider these statistics. The percentage of U.S.-based TikTok users by age, 10 to 19-year-old, 32% of them are aged 10 to 19. The average minutes per user, they spend over 52 minutes per day on the platform. A new study has shown younger people ages 4 to 15 spent 80 minutes on TikTok. 4 to 15, 80 minutes per day. Opens, a user opens TikTok 8 times per day. TikTok has about 80 million monthly active users in the United States. 60% are females, 40% are males, 60% are between the ages of 16 and 24. 60% of TikTok users are Gen Zers, which means they're born between 1997 to 2012. Basically, age 19 to 24, 60% of the TikTok users. Next year, 74 million people in the United States will be part of the Gen Z class, which makes them the largest generation of all. What's the point? The point is choice. The point is choice. Social media content is pushed to you so aggressively by design that even the directive by God for you to choose is taken out of your control. That's how it's designed. That's how we program it. To keep you there. To pull you in. Because the longer that you're there, advertisers will pay dollars for how long you stay there and how often you go in. Your choice. Your choice. I just mentioned TikTok, but there's Clubhouse, Twitter Spaces, Caffeine, Instagram Reels, House Party, Instagram, Discord, Snapchat, Facebook, you name it. Absolute truth number one, God determines what's right and wrong. Not social media platforms, not advertising companies, but it's your choice. And the choice is going to get harder and harder and harder for you. Yeah, when I was growing up, I had to decide whether or not I was going to go underneath of my uncle's bed to Penthouse magazine that he had stuff there that he thought nobody knew about. That's the 1970s. That's the 1980s. Today it's in your hand. I know it and you know it. Your choice. Choose life. These companies are designed to draw you in, to bring you in. That's what they do. That's what they're designed to do. The Feast of Tabernacles is indeed here to display for you the absolute truth that God decides what's right and wrong. His plan, his decision, his influence, his kingdom will stand. You choose life or you choose death. Your choice. Your choice. It's in the palm of your hand. Your choice. There's not enough web blocking, internet blocking, social media blocking software out there to keep you from going and seeing whatever it is you want to see. I know that. And you know that as well. Absolute truth number two. God expects you to choose right over wrong. God expects you to choose right over wrong. That's what he wants you to choose. Back to Deuteronomy 30. In verse 19, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, it says, therefore, choose life. You choose. That's what God wants you to do. God expects you to choose right over wrong. That is an absolute. That's what he wants you to choose. You know, the world of social media, you know, you have a relatively new phenomenon called influencers. It's not really new. It's just popular. Influencers. Now, I was going to take the time, but I don't have time. I'm running out of time as it is, to go through and list to you the name of the top influencers out there. But you know who they are on social media. The ones that have the millions upon millions of people following them. You know, there have always been influencers in your parents' and your grandparents' generation. You know, there was John Wayne, Johnny Depp, Roberta Flack, Kiss. There was Martin Luther King, Harry S. Truman. There was Elvis Presley, Miles Davis. You know, my influencer growing up was Michael Jackson. And I'm not talking about the Michael Jackson of 1985 when suddenly all of this changed. He became someone else. But the Michael Jackson of, you know, of the 70s and the early 80s, you know, I'll Be There, ABC Thriller, The Girl Is Mine. You know, if you didn't have an afro and could sing and dance, I mean, you were nothing. You couldn't keep the girl you had. He was an influencer. One of the most valuable steps you can take is to simply ask yourself, is the thing that this influencer is doing, promoting, saying, is it right or is it wrong? Does it pass the syllabus? Everything, does it pass the syllabus of Deuteronomy 30, verse 20? Your choice. Your choice. You have to make that choice. But don't get confused. You know, individuals will make things look good. Individuals can make things look wonderful. Rather than judge the individual, look at the acts, look at the life, look at the lifestyle. What are you reading? What are the words of that song? Is it something you should be listening to? Your choice. Profanity. Because you name it, TikTok, any of these other social media platforms, profanity. Let's go through a couple things real quickly. Profanity, your choice. Has profanity slipped into your being, into how you talk? I just jot down a couple of scriptures. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. Do you know what that means? How many songs take the Lord's name in vain? How about cursing? Exodus 4, verse 29. Exodus 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth. How about cursing? You see, your parents may have never, ever heard you use a curse word. My parents never, ever heard me use a curse word. And both are awaiting the resurrection. Never, ever heard me use a curse word. How about you? Do you have a different language when you're at school with your friends or in college? Or hanging out? Your choice. I learned that I could come up and read and expand my vocabulary so I could say things that were just as thrilling as the curse words. And my God friends would sit there, what is that he just said? Your choice. You choose. Illicit drugs. Smoking. Vaping. Your choice. You know, Mr. Horchak did an excellent FNL Bible study on the use of drugs, particularly focused on marijuana. Every young person here should watch that FNL Bible study that he did, Friday Night Live Bible study. You should watch it. How about the illegal use of alcohol? You know, I hope that the number of teens in the church that use marijuana, illicit drugs, over-the-counter or under-the-counter narcotics and alcohol and abuse of alcohol today is less than the number of teens that were doing the same thing when I was coming up. I hope it's less. but I'm not naive. Yeah, Wild U was great, but there was a whole lot of smoking of marijuana, drinking of illegal alcohol, et cetera, during Wild U in the church. And I'm not naive enough to think that it's not happening today. Your choice. Your choice. You choose. You choose. Sex, your choice. Your choice. Just jot down Deuteronomy 30, verse 32, verse 4. They have corrupted themselves. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. I'm not going to spend time in that today. You are all familiar with what's happening out there in the world with regard to sexual preferences, sexual identity, gender identity. The young people don't need anyone to explain to them what's going on. You know what's going on. LGBTQIA is a very serious problem. Too many unwise and unknowing adults, even in God's church, ridicule this reality in society without considering the challenges, the pain that exists, not only in the world with regard to the subject, but the problems within God's church. Our young people are in the world. These are things that they are challenged with. There are preteens and teens and young adults and adults who must deal with the LGBTQIA community who themselves are even possibly dealing with this reality in their own life. And sometimes we forget that heterosexual sins, unrepented of, result in the same judgment by God as LGBTQIA sins. If you're struggling in that area, you need to reach out, just like any other sin. Your choice. You choose. You choose. Absolute truth number three. Just gonna go through these two very briefly. Absolute truth number three. Absolute truth number three is this. God gives you the huge responsibility to choose. He gives you the huge responsibility to choose. It's your responsibility to choose. You can't put that off on anyone else. Your choice. You choose. Joshua 24, verse 14. Joshua 24, verse 14. Here in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will choose." Your choice. The same choice that the children of Israel were given. You choose. Your choice. Choose for yourself. He said, "Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, or the gods of the internet, or the gods of this world, you choose in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." God places a huge responsibility on you as a young person, as a young adult, to choose. Your parents, if you're still living at home, can set all the rules, all the boundaries of life within God's law, but you then have to choose. You know that you can go to any place in your house to do whatever you want. You can sit there right in front of their face and say, "Yes, ma'am, yes, sir," and doing whatever you want. You can go to a bathroom, to a bedroom, out with your friends, and do whatever. It's your choice. Your choice. You choose. God says choose life. Hiya! Choose to live. But it's your choice. Absolute truth number four. Absolute truth number four. God will not force you to choose right over wrong. God will not force you to choose right over wrong. There's nothing, at least in my life, scarier than sending my boys off to college. Because suddenly it is on them. And nothing was more humbling than going to the university that my son went to in both North Carolina and in Oklahoma, the two schools that they chose to have the administration tell us, well, no, we can't share any information about your son or daughter. Once they enter here, it's none of your business. They have to write a consent form for you to get any of their information, from their report card to anything that's happening to them, any disciplinary action. You know, no, you have no rights. They have to sign here. And I remember my wife looking over my son's. But then we both knew that we were going home. God's not going to force you to choose right over wrong. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Revelation 3 and verse 19. God will hear you. God will help you. God will encourage you. God will correct you. God will forgive you. God will love you. But God will not force you. Absolute truth. Revelation 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I am knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, you have to open the door. You have to choose. He's not going to force you. Your choice. If you're not out of the home yet, into college, or your own livelihood, believe me, it's going to be a snap of a finger when you are. Your choice. He says, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him, whoever comes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. This is everlasting life. As also I came and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Those who choose life will be given eternal life. Those who choose Hayya will be given eternal life in the kingdom of God. But it's your choice. God has called you. Now you have to make the choice. You choose God. God will choose you. Are you going to make that choice? You have been blessed to have been called to hear the voice of God. It is your choice to open the door. You have to choose to open the door. Your choice. God wants to give you eternal life, and he knows what true fulfillment of life looks like when it lasts for eternity. That's what he wants you to have. He wants you to have eternal life. Let's finish up back here in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Jesus Christ speaking here. Jesus Christ speaking here. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call, Jesus Christ speaking, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who holds the earth in nothingness, the one who placed the stars in the sky, the beautiful moon there that we saw the opening night of the feast, the oceans, the rivers, the streams, the birds, the planets in their frame. Since I call heaven and earth as witness against you today that I have set before you life high, and death, mave. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose high. That both you and your descendants may hayah, live. That you may live. that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life, length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord your God swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them, the kingdom of God. Will you follow the syllabus? Will you choose to pass the test? Will you choose to study each day, making the choice each day? Your choice. Choose life high. Choose to live higher. Choose everlasting life in the kingdom of God. That's the choice. This is before you. God has called you. He hasn't called all your friends in the world. He hasn't called your teachers at school. He's called you. It's a special calling. Your opportunity for eternal life. You choose. Choose everlasting life in the kingdom of God each and every day. It's your choice. You choose.